Welcome.
Welcome. I'm Halcyon.
And I'm Phenomenal.
We are here with week three of the Burning Man Boot Camp.
Burning Man Boot Camp.
We're going to assume that you've read the survival guide. We're going to assume that you have some inclination of what you're doing, what's going on, what you need. We're not going to tell you that you need to bring a dust mask and water. We are going to try to give some of the information that will take you from, whoa, what's going on here, to, I think I know what's going on here. Important thing about this title, How to Be a Good Burner. There's no right way to burn. In fact, it is a common thing in social media when people start to gripe or whine or say, look what they're doing. It's like, hey, whoa, don't tell people how to burn. Number one on our list of etiquettes that we want to share is recognizing that Burning Man has already begun. You need to treat the process as if you are already in Burning Man mode, which means the drive there, the packing, everything that could be frustrating about what we're going through right now, let that be part of your adventure. Don't wait until you get past the gate to be that open-hearted, patient, and present person that you are at Burning Man. Practice being that person now.
Wait, who's patient at Burning Man? Sometimes it rains and they shut down the entire line. You have to be prepared for things to happen that are unexpected and just go with the flow. Don't get your panties in a bunch about things, because does freaking out ever make it better?
There's only one thing for certain. Nothing certain. Number two is when you get on Playa and you get settled, introduce yourself.
Yeah, say hi to your neighbors. For example, I've burned 7 times, pretty much commando. If you guys are, that means going without pants. What that means at Burning Man is that you are just showing up. You're just going to figure out where you're going to camp. You're not a part of a camp. You're not a part of a group. You might not even be a part of a team of friends. Like, just, you're just doing your thing. And so I've done, I've roughed it many, many times. And when you're doing that, you don't know who you're camped next to. There's tents, there's RVs, there's stuff. And I remember one year I was kind of like, I want to go meet these people in this cool bus. And so I went around and I felt weird, like I'm encroaching upon their camp, but I was like, hi. And they were like, hey, come on in, come on by. And I was like, wow, look at your cool shaded, carpeted hangout chill zone. And they're like, yeah, totally. And I'm like, we're right here. We're just some girls in some tents. And they're like, right on. And then we met the people in the RV across from them. And after we met these people, within 2 days, we said that we brought sheets to make shade, but that we had no idea how to do it. And one of the people in one of those RVs was like, you have sheets? I will make shade. And we created a shade between the bus, the school bus, and the RV. And everybody became our friends. They were like, you're welcome to chill in our lounge if you need to chill in the shade. Everybody was so cool. And I've had lots of experiences like that where I just said, hi, nice to meet you. Introduced myself, said where I was from, said I'm not really a part of any particular camp. And people were like, awesome. By the end of the week, they're like, you can go in my tent if you need something because we know you're cool. It was like amazing.
One of the 10 principles is communal effort. And so we have a tendency in the default world to stick to ourselves, to keep our heads down, to not ask for help. And this is different out there. If you are in a theme camp, you are already in the zone of like working together. If you're not in a theme camp, your neighbors are going to become your community and your theme camp, and you can borrow things from each other, but start it by introducing yourself. Okay, the next is the right way to dress. Now, we, in our episode one, we talked about Burning Man outfits. So you can go back to that if you want to know more about the correct way to dress for Burning Man. But what I want to address is the idea that I keep hearing people throw around of sparkle ponies.
What's that?
Sparkle ponies.
Sparkle ponies.
What's a sparkle pony?
All right. A sparkle pony, as far as I understand it, is it's a person who is so concerned about how they look, so concerned about their crazy outfit, so concerned about looking cute, perfect, pretty, handsome, sexy, whatever, that they disregard radical self-reliance, which is one of the 10 principles. And for example, if someone's like, oh, I need this, oh, I need that, I have to get my outfit perfect, and please imply this tone to male and female people, this is not just me mocking a girl. Boys can be sparkle ponies too. I've seen it myself. Now you're like, I gotta get ready, I gotta, everybody's like, let's go, let's go. And you decide to forget your Camelback. And now you're walking around with your peeps, or maybe you didn't even make it because you took too long, and your peeps are, you know, whatever. You're at a camp and someone's like, we're serving rum punch. and you're like, oh, I'd love a rum punch. And they're like, do you have a cup? You're like, oh, I left it at camp. You need to have a cup. You should bring your own water at all times to not have those basic things. Oh, I need a dust mask. Oh, do you have an extra dust mask?
So basically, a sparkle pony is someone who is not, cool. not radically self-reliant. Lately, people have been using that term to insult photographs of people who have elaborate outfits and who are using their clothing as their artistic expression, or perhaps they're modeling the artistic clothing of others. And I just want to nip that in the bud. There is zero negativity about clothing art.
Totally.
Art on the body is still art.
Yeah, you do you and you dress up as sparkly as you want, but don't prioritize the outfit over making it to watch the burn of the man.
The converse of that is that don't assume that if somebody has regular clothes, that that means they are not an intense participant. Many of the most hardcore builders and artists and people who've been there for weeks, they wear cargo pants.
Yep.
A t-shirt
and, like a,
and shaded hat because yep. their focus is on building big ass awesome shit and they could care less what they look like. Now, neither one is and, better yeah, or worse.
Don't think that, you know, somebody walking around in army pants and, you know, some kind of normal-ish clothing is not a sparkle pony. And do not assume that people that are covered in amazing glittery things and tutus and fur and neon glowing lights are sparkle ponies. You can be the sparkliest of them all. You can be dressed up like a pony covered in sparkles. And that doesn't mean you're a sparkle pony. If you got your shit together, you have your water, you have your supplies, you have what you need on you. You're not you crying about the fact that it's dusty. You're not complaining that it's windy because you know yeah. that that's going to happen. You're not a sparkle pony.
As a person who for many years considered my attire to be my main expression at Burning Man, I also feel like I was radically self-reliant and embodying the principles, and so I want us to make sure we can
yeah.
see all people as part of our rich tapestry. Okay, yeah. next we have porta potty etiquette.
Thanks, Owen.
First off, the most basic of the porta potty etiquettes is if it doesn't come out of your body, don't put it in the potty.
Memorize that mantra.
Now, to be honest, I didn't know this initially. When I was younger, I thought porta potties were magical things, and whatever you put into them just disappeared. I don't know. It didn't occur to me that somebody came around and sucked stuff out with a hose, partially because the horror. But what that means is, if something falls in there, or you throw something in there, a beer can or something that's not one ply toilet paper, excrement, vomit, semen, tears,
menstrual blood. See our video on that bathroom edition if you want full details on all the things with the porta potties.
If you can get all of those liquids and substances into a porta potty on one visit, you actually get a special medallion.
Yes, so, porta see the potty Rangers. Pro.
Porta potty bingo.
Oh my god!
But something that's in there that isn't meant to be can clog up the hoses. At one point, the number one risk to the future Burning Man was the inability to empty porta potties. So just be good about only putting things in there. Well, but wait a minute. I need to use wet naps. What should I do?
Oh my goodness. You should probably have, sorry, not probably. You should 100% absolutely without a doubt have a moop bag. What's moop?
Moop is matter out of place.
And that can be anything, right? Like, it could be a scarf, it could be a headlamp, it could be a tampon, it could be moop is stuff that's not supposed to be there, that somehow gets on the playa or somewhere it's not supposed to be. With regard to the porta potties, if you have a tampon, if you need to use wet wipes, and you need to throw those away properly so you don't clog up the porta potty. So you bring a Ziploc baggie in your bathroom stuff. Again, see our bathroom edition about this at length. If you're a newbie, it might be really good for you to watch that. And you wrap it up in some toilet paper and you stuff it into your moop bag. And then you take that back to camp with you and you get dispose of it properly. You could even have a separate moop bag just for bathroom moop, because that's going to be a little funkier than your plastic wrapper moop and your regular moop. So
yeah.
Bathroom personal moop bag is really important so that you can have your wet wipes, you can do whatever you need to do.
And I consider it etiquette to knock knock on any door before I open it. Over the course of the week, often the doors will have the locking mechanisms not work, so you can't depend on that to be evidence that it's empty. So knock knock, and that gives the person inside to be like, one second.
Yep.
There is a special intimacy to that moment when you open a porta potty and are eye to eye with someone who's sitting down.
Or eye to ass cheeks for guys standing up.
You know, eye to ass cheeks is something that I can shake off. It's eye to eye. It's when the eyes are open and the sphincter's open. That's a time.
Oh, God.
That intimacy is something that I don't want to share with anyone.
Oh.
Bring extra teepee with you, one ply, just in case they're out, and the bag for your wet naps. If you're a woman or you don't have a penis, pee funnel is an awesome idea. Becca talked about it a bunch. Phenomenal talked about it a bunch during our episode one, week one. Okay.
Pee funnels are a game changer. And then you can use the urinal and you don't even have to look at all that caca.
Okay, next is, Moop. So in addition to having you mentioned having a little bag that you bring to the porta potty to put your wet naps in. Is that the end of your responsibility to remove moop?
When I went to my first burn, I had a friend at the time who thought I was insane. He's like, I can't believe you're going to do it. I can't believe you're going to do it. When I get back, he says, what's the biggest thing that you got out of Burning Man? Crazy, wild, naked orgies? I said, the biggest thing I got out of Burning Man was realizing exactly how much trash one human being creates in a given day. Because all of a sudden, I had all my protein bars and my seaweed snacks and my whatever, and I probably was smoking and had tobacco and cigarette butts and different little micro moop, little piece of wrapper from a piece of gum. And suddenly I was like, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? Normally I put it into a trash can that I walk by, like out in the default world. Suddenly I was like needing to collect every little wrapper, every little piece of plastic, every little thing, you know, every little feather that fell off of somebody else that I mooped off of the playa. And I was like, where do I put all this stuff? And someone said to me, oh, carry a moop bag. And I was like, oh, what's that? And so there's some camps that go over this at length. And I think it's really brilliant just teaching you how to create your own moop bag. I mean, you don't want all your protein bar wrappers that have like melty protein bar goo in your Camelback getting all over your other stuff, do you? You want to keep it separate. So having some kind of moop receptacle situation on your person at all times is really important. Having moop setups at your camp is really important. You might want like an actual trash can rather than just like a hanging trash bag. Separate your paper from your, you know, compost. I met at my first burn as well, I met somebody who composted. They took all their food scraps, like from onions and banana peels, and dried them out in a basket and then burned them at the temple.
So as far as etiquette goes, don't let it hit the ground and allow yourself to be responsible for everyone else's move.
Yeah, pick stuff up. Don't like let it lay there. If you see something laying there, pick it up. If you don't pick it up, it will accumulate.
At some point in the week, you are going to have a piece of your trash that is going to get out of your hands or fly out of your bag and you're not going to notice it.
Or off of an art car and you can't jump off.
And someone else in the community is going to pick it up because that's what we do for each other. So be that person for someone
else. Be that person. Think about it like this. If you're riding down the road and you see something on the street and you stop and pick it up, then the next person that comes by and the next person that comes by doesn't think that people just leave moop on the ground and that's all fake. They go, oh, there's no moop. Like, that's what I love about Burning Man. Everywhere you ride, it's clean. The playa is smooth. There's not a bunch of debris and garbage and trash and litter.
Okay, moving on to yellow bike rules. Yellow bikes. I've heard of those. Yellow bikes are the communal bikes that are available for anyone to use. Now, they are actually green. Personally, I don't think that the confusion that that nomenclature causes is worth the cleverness. But whatever, it's based on a program that is in European cities where they have a fleet of bikes that anyone can use. You get on the bike, ride it to where you're going, and you leave it there for someone else to get on. It's kind of like how they have scooters now, except you don't pay for them. But you know, you ride it,
it's
you get off.
It's a free version of that.
You ride it, you get it off, someone else gets it on.
Yep.
So
anyone can use it at any time.
For this program to work, it requires a couple rules. Those are, do not decorate it, do not lock it, and wear pants.
I always forget about that last rule.
It should be common sense, but these are everyone's bikes. So you can't own it. You can't decorate it, partially because it will be, it loses the definition of the thing that we use to identify it. Don't lock it. And pants is a sanitary issue.
Yep.
Same as with, like, if you
protect
visit
yourself.
If you visit someone's camp and you're a never wear pants or
shirt cocking.
Shirt cocker.
That's or a fine. Blouse boxing.
Your thing. But just be mindful of sitting on anyone else's stuff. Be that a yellow bike. Be that someone's cooler. Like, personal choices.
Yep.
Okay, so it is totally uncool to lock a bike. I hear people say, yeah, but you know, if I take a yellow bike all the way out to dance at an R-car way in the middle of nowhere, I need it to get back. No, you don't. That's not how the system
works.
That's
not how it works.
You might hope that somebody rides one out and leaves one when you need one.
The playa provides. You need to trust that the playa provides. To be selfish and be like, well, I'm going to lock this bike up to my friend's bikes and hide it in between them to make it hard to get out to unlock it from, that's a Sparkle Pony move.
You can't discard the rules of the system because it doesn't work for you.
Because you didn't bring a bike. Or you lost your bike, or someone stole your bike. Shit happens.
You'll find a way. You'll find a way back. An art car will come by, and on that art car is going to be the person that you were meant to meet so that you would marry and have 9 kids, and then wonder, should I bring my kids to Burning Man? They don't all have bikes. See? Full circle.
Yes. You don't need a bike at all times. It's wonderful to ride around on art cars.
Other things on just bikes in general. It's very important that we keep the streets clear. When you show up at a camp that has got a big crowd, what tends to happen is the bikes will start to fill into the streets. And you ride up, you see something cool, you just drop your bike and go. That's actually a huge problem. It's one of the bigger problems. Just like clogging the toilets is a huge issue, clogging the streets is a huge issue. We have to have the ability for emergency vehicles to get down every street.
This is a city. It's not just a rave. Hello?
If you've ever been in a theme camp that gets big crowds, one of the biggest challenges you have is bike parking. You have to have a cruise of people. Not there, please, not there, please. Can you put it over off the Esplanade, please? Can you get it off?
Pink Heart has built a bike parking lot and like bike parking areas to let people who come to Pink Heart park.
Well, not
their
only
bikes.
That, we have to have staff. We have to have manned shifts to make sure that we assist people or move bikes. And so do your part to just keep things flowing.
And some camps along the Esplanade and other main streets do provide bike racks, you know, areas where you can put your tire in and stand your bike up. So look for those. And if it's cluster crazy, try to maybe put your bike a little further away so that you can find it later. You could even borrow a yellow bike to go ride around and find your bike, but then you leave the yellow bike there unlocked and ready for someone else.
Right. Someone asked, jargon alert, shirt cocking. Yes, shirt cocking is when someone wears only a shirt and no pants. It's also called Donald ducking. It's, you know, some people, you know, it's too cold, you got to put a jacket on, but you still want your penis out. That's a shirt cocker.
One year I ran around in a strap on, so that was my shirt cocking day.
Other things on bikes. In a crowd of bikes, if you think yours was stolen or you can't find yours, do not borrow someone else's. Many bikes are stolen when someone just goes, oh, I can't find mine, I'm going to try another one. Don't do that. Come back the next day when the crowd is gone and your bike will probably be there when it's in the direction that you didn't think it was and you'll find it.
Or like, what if somebody, this happens a lot, you have to go to the bathroom really bad. Suddenly you have to pee so bad because you've waited until the last minute, the bathrooms are a little bit far away, and you're like, I'm just going to use this bike really quick to just ride over to the bathroom, and I'm going to bring the bike right back. And I will admit, I've done that before, and I did bring the bike right... I'm sorry. I did bring the bike right back, but what if I placed the bike a few feet away from where it actually was originally? It could have made it hard for that person to find it.
Or the owner came back while you were gone, and then they take someone else's back. Now we have two stolen bikes.
So
don't do it.
That sucks. And so maybe don't wait till it's an emergency to go to the bathroom.
Also, to combat that, lock your bike up.
Yep.
Or at least, you know, pretend like you're going to lock it up so it'd be annoying if somebody tried to drive it away with your bike.
You can wrap a chain thing or whatever, a bike lock cord through your tire and then around the body of the bike, very simply. What it makes it so that the wheel can't move. And so if you just do that, your bike's locked to itself.
Final thing on bikes, don't lock your bike to art. Art is just because it's stable does not mean you can lock it to it. Like Phenomenal said, lock the bike to itself, lock it to another bike or a bike rack or something that is clearly not art. And definitely not to a mutant vehicle, because they will clip your lock and just drive away. Okay, next we've got pranks and fuckery. Burning Man is a home for snark and teasing and silliness and heckling.
It welcomes vulgarity.
And it's kind of like you. For me, some of my dearest friends that I've known for 30 plus years, one of the ways that we interact is by teasing each other and making fun of each other. And there's this deep, profound love which allows us to mock and be silly. And we're just laughing as we make fun of each other. That happens a lot at Burning Man. And you got to understand that it's done from this place of love. However, you may hear something that feels a little judgmental or jarring or pretty bold to hear from someone that doesn't know you. Understand that that is a part of the culture. If you're going to do that, if you're going to be one who mocks or insults
or teases
or does pranks where you like send somebody on a wild goose chase, what makes a prank a prank, what makes it good, is when both sides are laughing. If you just make someone have a bad experience and you laugh at their expense, that is not what we're about. Don't do that. Do something that's funny, where once they realize what happened, they're laughing. Along with the snarkiness and criticisms and heckling, the opposite of that is compliments and thanks. We are a culture of compliments and of appreciation and thanking. It is a good practice, if you are going to be complimenting someone, to make sure that you don't fall into the sound like you are hitting on someone and making them uncomfortable.
Unless you are hitting on them.
Compliment them on a choice that they've made as opposed to something natural born. So you say, nice boots instead of nice boobs. Nice boots is never going to make someone feel uncomfortable. Nice boobs might.
Might.
Now, it might be different. Woman to woman, that might be a little different. You would be happy to call
someone
nice boobs.
My first burn, I ran around topless because I had never gotten to live without a shirt in the outdoors since I was like 9 years old. And when I was freeing the nipple, I was so happy. And several people gave me very genuine, loving compliments. And they said, I just want to let you know you have really beautiful breasts. And I was like, thanks. And it wasn't weird. They weren't like, hubba hubba. They just said it to me like, I gotta tell you this, but it wasn't expecting, it wasn't like, can I touch them? And it ended up resulting in like, let's have boob hugs and all these fun things. And some of the people were men, some of the people were women, but they were very respectful about it. And you know, I will compliment someone how beautiful their eyes are, because I'm a sucker for beautiful eyes like yours, green and brown.
I'm just saying, this is graduate level complimenting. If you're going to compliment someone's body of the opposite sex,
don't be a dick about it.
Be mindful that you're doing it in a respectful way that does not make someone feel objectified when they are not in a place where they are consenting to be so.
Yes. And along complimenting people, it's one of my superpowers. I've been using it for years as a way to connect with people. And it's so fun. Rather than being like quiet into yourself or whatever, you can just talk to people and be like, wow, did you make this outfit? Holy cow. Or look at that backpack. Oh, that's also a camelback. And just acknowledging people, telling them that they look awesome or that they are doing something well, is a great way to meet people and also learn stuff about, like, how did you make that? How did you do that? Wow. You know, like, you're learning, you're noticing things. And I think it's a really great way to communicate with a random stranger. Just say something awesome, say a joke, say something. But yeah, all that snarky fuck your burn stuff is kind of
old. In the same way, the thank you culture is big, and nobody tires of hearing that. If you can find an artist that's done something, any volunteer, a ranger, just showing appreciation, saying thank you, just like a compliment, it just raises the vibe of we're all appreciating each other for what we bring to this to make it
And noticing that all the work that has gone into it. Yeah. When you are at a cool piece of art, sometimes there might be someone kind of hanging out nearby the art. And you're like, wow, wow. And they're kind of just observing. And then you say, do you know anything about this? And they're like, yeah, I made this art. And then you're like, you made this? So sometimes the artist is there and you can hug them and tell them how awesome it is.
Okay, next we've got on our list, drama. Important to be a good burner. Don't let your personal drama negatively affect your campmates or people around you. This is a precious time in the desert. Yes, things are going to kick up. Yes, you're going to be faced with your stuff. But
relationships are hard. But they're harder at the burn. Sometimes they're more fun, but they're still hard.
We're going to have a whole separate episode where we're going to be talking about relationship challenges and relationship tips for the playa.
We realize there's definitely enough to say about relationships that can be its own bonus episode.
It's going to be outside of the 4 weeks, so make sure you're on the list.hugnation.com to get all of them. Even as this episode has been going, I'm finding more and more things that I want to talk about that annoy me. I mean, that we're going to talk about as far as issues that will help you maintain your relationship.
Love you.
But the essence is, show restraint, keep it quiet, keep it out of people's business. If at all possible, recognize that you're going through tough things and don't let your repeating patterns just cycle into the Burning Man and cause other people to have to deal with it. If you're gonna actually have catharsis and move through stuff, awesome.
Ask for help, communicate, get some help, but don't just run around bickering about everything and make everything that is not fun for you everybody else's problem.
Next on the list is media etiquette. So first of all, there are some official rules about media.
The survival guide, which I am rereading because I try to read it every year, it said something about if you plan on if you're planning on showing photos from Burning Man, writing a blog, doing an article, showing videos, if you're planning on producing or publishing any of the stuff that you collect there, as in on your blog, on your website, whatever, you need to register as a official media person. You get a little badge, and then you can run around with your camera and be like, hey, can I videotape you guys having this conversation for my documentary? But you don't just do that and publish it without the permission to do so.
Right. But even if you are not a professional or even a avid amateur, you don't have a blog, you're just doing this for social media, there's still some important things to remember about etiquette. For example, consent. You know, I am of the mind that you don't need to get consent before you take a photograph. For example, you see people dancing at sunset and they start to kiss as the sun's going down. If you want to take their picture and then afterwards say, hey, I took this shot, is there a way I could get this, send this to you afterwards? Or is that okay? And they might go, how dare you? And you go, okay, I'll delete it right now. But I personally don't think it's necessary to, hey, while you guys are kissing, can I stop your moment to see if I can take your picture?
That makes a lot of sense.
I wouldn't want to be stopped dancing to get my picture taken, but I would love, once the song ended, for someone to say, I got a rad shot of you. Can I email it to you? Do you have a card? And if you're a photographer, highly recommend getting a card with your email address. Give it to people. I follow up with everybody who gives me a card and says, hey, love to see the shot you took. It's amazing
how people don't. That's how you got all those killer pictures.
It's amazing how people don't reply, though. I'm like, I thought that was the deal.
Yeah, you know, you're like, I thought that you were going to give me the picture that you took. Yeah. But you would, you know, if you say there's, you know, something in front of you that you find spectacular and you want to take a picture of it. Like, I've taken pictures of art and there's, like, people on the art, stuff like that. Now, these are not photos I'm going to publish or share. They're just for me. So whoever's there, it's like, it's just my photos of Burning Man. But I once saw this beautiful Ouroboros. There was a woman just sitting on it by herself. I was like, that's fantastic. I want to take a picture of that. Wait, there's a person sitting on it by herself. I went up to her and said, would it be okay for me to take a picture of you sitting on this? And she's like, oh, I'll get off of it. And I'm like, no, you make the picture extra awesome because you're sitting on the art. And she's like, sure. She posed. We had a beautiful moment. She ended up gifting me a necklace or something. It was a beautiful little moment just by asking for her consent to take the photo.
You bring a great point, which is that immediacy always trumps media. I'm going to say that again. Immediacy trumps media. if someone wants to take a picture and they ask you to get off a piece of art, fuck that. Your experience at Burning Man is way more important than their ability to capture whatever. I don't care how great a photographer they are, or what accolades they have. I don't care if
it's for, you know, the Union Tribune.
If you want to take a picture of Burning Man, this is Burning Man. Me on this art right now. Yep. So if you want to come back later, do not get off of something or bend to the will of someone who is trying to capture it. If you are someone who makes videos about Burning Man, I want to make a plea to you. It is very tempting to get caught up in the pageantry and the spectacle and the beautiful bodies that are dancing on top of art sculptures. Awesome. Recognize that Burning Man is much more diverse than the highlight scenes that you may have had a client ask you to put in their marketing movies. Show all the beauty. And also, mention the 10 principles.
Yes.
None of this would happen. None of the art, none of the community, none of the magic would happen without the 10 principles. If you make a movie about Burning Man and you don't mention the 10 principles, it's like having your parents over to meet your girlfriend, but then not letting your girlfriend speak. She looks nice, but there's a lot more to her than that. Shh.
It looks like a party if you don't realize that you have to pick up your own trash.
Yes. Going back a step or two, Jack pointed out, as far as we talk about drama, if you're having a legitimate crisis or a psychedelic issue or real mental health issues, there is an organization called Zendo. Ask your way to find Zendo, or ask for a ranger who will point you in the direction you need to go.
Yes, there's rangers. There's emergency medical staff, like EMTs at all times. There's law enforcement. If you're having a serious problem that you need help, if someone's, you know, losing it and trying to assault you, there's certain things where there's people who do that. We're talking about if you're having an argument with your partner.
You never wash the dishes. This is just like at home. I'm always doing the dishes and you never wash the dishes. And you're like, don't bring that to Burning Man. They'll see some cool sculpture and everyone there will be taking a picture. I guarantee there are going to be 10 photographers more talented than you that are going to take a picture of that piece of art.
With a way better camera.
So just enjoy it. If you want to take a quick snap of like just this cool moment happened, just, you know, whip out your camera snap or whip out like just a really quick thing, but don't compose a picture and think you're going to be like, this is so beautiful, therefore my picture is going to be so awesome. Just find somebody else's better picture of the art. And focus on just little things that are going to remind you. Or better yet, you don't even have to take a picture. You could write it down.
Journaling?
Yeah.
So I wanted to share something about this because I never keep my phone with me. I don't want to ruin my phone. I'm often afraid of damaging things. So I used to carry around a digital camera. I found one. I'm going to bring that out this year. I love pictures, but here's the deal. You don't need to have pictures of every single thing. You know how there's some like people where they're like, oh, this is a really amazing moment, let's take a picture together, and then everyone's like, but my camera too, and my camera too, and my camera too, and now you got one person taking six pictures with six phones. It takes all this time. Suddenly it's all about the freaking photographs of the event and not the actual experience of the event. What I love to do is bring a journal with me. Not everybody's into journaling, but just grab a notebook and pen, put it in your camelback, put it in your tent, and at the end of the day, or maybe every couple of days, make little notes of cool stuff that happened and like write down awesome things that happened, or you went to this art piece and you had this amazing kiss with this, you know, hot couple from South Africa, whatever. And then when you read the notes later, you'll remember it. You don't have to have a picture of every single little thing.
And if you do feel like you need to have a picture of every single thing, schedule a photo safari day or days or chunks of time where you have a set amount of time where you're in like capture mode. And then for the rest of the time, be present, allow the experiences to happen, allow yourself to have the immediacy. If you are, every time you think this is cool, you're like, I want to remember this for later and take a picture of it. You just created this separation between the magic and you. Next, we have respect the art. Burning Man art is interactive. For the most part, unless it says otherwise, you can probably climb on it. Use your best judgment. If something looks brittle, don't do anything to break it.
If it's covered in spikes, probably don't want to climb that.
Some things are clear, like you're supposed to ride on it. You're allowed to ride on it.
Mm-hmm.
But don't ride on things that do not already have writing on them or with pens and stuff present. Don't think that your tagging is going to make something better. Respect the art. Respect the journey that an artist and a team of artists has gone to get something to where it is.
Yeah, don't assume everything's going to get burned or something either, you know? So and love it, respect it.
And don't take it upon yourself to see just how strong this thing is. I've seen and heard of people like pulling on things to see, you know, if it will break. Don't do that. And if you see other people doing it, all of us let's try to work together to protect the art and recognize that anything that you break means later in the week someone else can't experience that. Next, a little bit on theme camps. This is a deep topic, but the aspect that I want to talk about as far as theme camps and etiquette, I just want to talk about the attitude. A theme camp is something where a bunch of people get together, they pool their resources, their energy, so that they can collectively gift in a more dramatic and profound way to Black Rock City and the world. It is not a place where you pay money to get a meal plan. It's not a place where you outsource your radical self-reliance and pay somebody to do stuff for you. No. It is so because, like, when you go to a birthday party and you go, hey, I got you an action figure, or you get 10 people together, hey, let's get him the Star Wars Hoth playset. It's way too much a gift for one person to give him, but as a group, you could. I always kind of wanted the Hoth playset, but not enough people came to my birthday party. It's another time. Okay. So don't have an idea of like when's dinner going to be ready? Like,
sounds like a Sparkle Pony thing to say.
If you are concerned about food, visit the kitchen of your camp and say, hey, is there anything I can do? Anyone need me to pick up things or peel things or chop things?
How can I help get dinner ready faster?
Exactly. It's a duocracy. Help out whenever you can.
Also, if you're just a commando camper and you're perusing theme camps, you don't just like take the place over, you know, it's like that's, keep in mind that Burning Man is a volunteer duocracy. It's everybody brought that there for your enjoyment. So yeah, ride the swing set and go get a shot at the Pickleback Bar and appreciate it. But don't like make a mess. Don't leave your moop there. Don't be rude to, don't disrespect the camp, you know, appreciate what these people have done and how hard they work to bring this theme camp to you. Right. And you want to talk about the exclusivity BS?
Yeah, just in general, while we have radical inclusion in the event and we want everyone to be able to come and bring whatever it is that they want to share and about themselves and their art, we also need to be very careful about exclusivity in theme camps and art cars. There has been a trend where people will create a velvet rope or a wall of RVs where they... only certain people are allowed in, whether they are only friends within the camp that can participate in an activity, or only people of a certain age and body type are allowed on an art car.
Have you heard of this?
Yes. And so...
that's despicable.
It's okay for a group to say, like, you've had experiences on Burn Night where, hey, I'm Burn Night, this is our art car, and tonight it's just people who helped build the car, they're going to be up on this tonight.
Yeah, I wanted to climb up to the... I saw like I was trying to get up high where I could see the man burn, and I went around to some art cars and I was like, can I get on this art car, like the school bus, and go get on the roof with you? And they were like, are you part of camp such and such? And I was like, no. They're like, sorry, it's burn night. Any other time, you're welcome. You're totally welcome to come ride on this art car with us. But it's burn night and we have a capacity of how many people are allowed to be on the roof of this thing.
And that makes total sense.
That's respectable.
But other than that, the things that theme camps bring to gift should be available to all.
Right, like
all at the same time. Like there are some things that people gift, like people gift like gourmet meals with a sit down or a super well furnished plush room for 30 minutes or an hour that you can just use with your lover. Obviously not everyone can use it at the same time, but it can't just be available only to beautiful people or something like that.
Right, or the I've heard of these camps where it's like you're not even allowed to go dance on the dance floor, like the frontage area. It's one thing to have kind of a semi blocked off private camp ground, and that's for our safety. You know, like I've been in a camp before that created kind of like a secure wall around it, and they wanted to make sure that they could keep police from policing their private space. I thought that was extremely impressive. I thought they did a great job. They had actual security guards on the nights of big sound shows because it was a sound camp. So, you know, you've got DJs coming through the back to perform, and this is the private campground. I'm just stealing our stuff, you know, so we're all in the front, but the frontage, the stage, everyone was allowed to be there at all times to dance and have a good time. You should not be not allowing people. There should not be exclusivity of like, you're not allowed to come dance in this dance floor.
Barry pointing out, in addition to the respect the art, is respect the street signs.
Oh my God.
There is a huge challenge as the event and burn night. I don't know where people thought this would be a good idea. Is to take street signs as souvenirs. And there's no amount of coolness of having that sign that is going to counteract the struggle that people will have getting home, that ambulances will have finding people. It's a real problem. It's totally disrespectful to the sign makers. These are all hand done, you know, stuff. Don't take the signs.
Cities don't work if you don't have street signs.
And if you happen to have a camp that's near signs, it's a great idea to have some extra cardboard or something where you could make a replacement sign if need be.
Right, I've seen that.
Okay, we are getting close to the end here. You guys have been very attentive. Thank you. Next we have scheduling versus flowing. I keep seeing people writing online like, when do I see the set lists? You know, how do I know when my favorite DJ is going to play and where are they going to play? And there's an answer to that. There is actually a service. The Rockstar Librarian makes a collection of the DJ times for, I don't know.
Thousands?
A lot.
Hundreds of camps.
Hundreds of camps, maybe. I don't read it, but apparently a lot of people do this. So this is where you and I are going to come up from different sides of this. So there's no right way to be a burner. To me, when I hear people say, when are the set lists? And when are, it's like, ugh. It's fine if there's a certain person that you love and you want to make an effort to go see your favorite performer. I highly recommend you trust the flow. Wander around. Listen to somebody else who says, I'm going to see my favorite DJ. I've never heard of them. Well, come with me. That's way better than, like, you're not there to follow a schedule. You're there to stretch yourself and trust the magic.
Right.
Counterpoint.
Now, I love to wander around and find things and just whimsically go where this by the seat of my pants. However, my third year, I discovered that a friend of mine who's a DJ said, oh, Rockstar Librarian. I said, what is this? The Rockstar Librarian is this fantastic woman who is a angel of music lovers. And she puts together this insanely detailed thing you can print out. And her amount of time and effort to do this, like, this is her gift. It's fantastic. And you know, the Rockstar Librarian, I was saying you don't want to be the person who's looking at your schedule, but I like to kind of game plan certain days. And if I know I'm going to perform with Fire, I wear different clothes. And if I'm not going to perform with Fire, things like that. So I do kind of have a loose plan of what I want to do. And the Rockstar Librarian, she needs people to submit to her the sets, even art car sets. So it's like Charlie the Unicorn at midnight has so-and-so. And I'm just saying, I have found it to be fantastic because I go to a camp that has some music I want to hear because I love dancing. And then when the music I want to hear is over, I stay and hang out. I wander around. And I just loosely plan around, like, at this night, I know I want to be on 10 o'clock side for these reasons. And that makes, it enhances my burn tremendously because I had never seen the Crystal Method in a concert in my life, and I'd been listening to them since I was 16, and I've seen them 3 times on Playa, and it's been mind-blowing every time. So I'm grateful to know that they're there.
And my counter to that is you can see Crystal Method in clubs all over the world, and there's a ton of things you can't see that are
ever
only
again.
At Burning Man.
That's true.
And that there's a real temptation that I urge you to fight, and I think we'll talk about it more next, our final week 4, is that it's tempting to get drawn to the brightest things and the loudest things and the big crowds. And the just because it's a bright light and it attracts the moths does not mean it's the best thing. And there's so many treasures that are reward those that wander off the beaten path.
Oh, yeah. If you're running around listening to music the entire time, you're going to miss the free massages camp where they do foot scrubs and shampoo your hair and give you out free massages. And I have a friend who said, oh, I've gotten a massage every day. And I was like, what? And I'm not even paying attention to what's happening on J Street.
Yes.
The what, where, when is another Rockstar Librarian of everything that's happening at Burning Man. So you can look through that and find all kinds of amazing workshops and activities to go do. Music is not in that.
one of my, I like the idea of going through the Rockstar Librarian or going through the Who, What, Where and finding something that seems interesting and then heading off in that direction.
Right.
Because a destination is what gets you started on your adventure.
Right.
But just then let go. Then trust that, you know, if you're on your way to Crystal Method and there's somebody whose aura is vibrating and they're holding gluten-free pizza.
Oh my God.
And they're your dream come true. Don't be like, oh man, I love Crystal Method so much. No. Let your intuition pull you out of your GPS coordinates.
Yes. Just go that direction. Yeah. You'll eventually get there.
Okay. Next, we have just a little bit on consent. As far as etiquette at Burning Man, there's nothing more important than consent. We have this radical self-expression principle, but for it to work, we have to be mindful that our gifts are desired, that people are consenting to receive our gifts, whether that is a song, whether that is a megaphone, whether that is a spritz of water, whether that is touch, or a beverage and a cocktail. Everything in the world that is awesome if you want it can be horrific if you don't.
Me? You didn't consent to it.
I love sex. But if I don't consent to it, that's rape.
Yeah, not cool.
If I love a good buzz, but if you dose me, that's consciousness rape. It's fucked up. People think it's not a gift if someone is not enthusiastically receptive to it. And same with the spritz of water. Like, what if I just put my contacts in and you just, you know, knocked them out? What if I'm the Wicked Witch of the West and you spray me with water and I melt?
Melting!
So just ask or find a way to get implied consent with your hug.
Or if you have the sprayer with the water and you're walking around with the sprayer and you see me and I'm like, and I put my arms out like, oh, please spray me. I love people that spray people with water. And I even bring a spritzer myself to do that same thing because it's such a wonderful gift and it's so easy to provide a spritz of water. But if you like squirt gun me in the face when I'm not expecting it, I am going to be super pissed and feel assaulted by that.
Or one thing I see people a lot is that people are giving sprays in the heat of the day and everyone's like, thank you, awesome. And then it's so fun, they're enjoying the gifting, they're giving so much joy, they're cooling people off, and it's like 6 p.m., the sun's going down and they're still spraying. I'm like, whoa,
it's getting cool. This is not a gift anymore. Cooling down, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, on consent, we wanted we dare you to ask.
Double dare.
One of us or both of us to consent to something on Playa.
You'd be surprised at how much fun you can have asking for consent for things.
Okay, strike and exodus. Just on the etiquette of strike, your camp at the end of the week is going to have to disassemble all the stuff that you set up or that someone else set up. And at that point, it's going to be covered in Playa dust. And at that point, your hands are going to be dry and you're going to have injuries and you're going to be tired and your serotonin is going to be depleted. And you're going to think, I can't do this. But somebody has to. So you got to step up and help your campmates and strike.
Bring your gloves. Don't be a sparkle pony. Then you're like, I needed gloves.
Have gloves, hydrate, take time if you need to, but don't go, look, I have to get to Reno. I can't be here any longer. Until your duties are done, you got to stay. Or let me tell you now, you got to chill out at the end of the week. So you got some, still got some juice, still got some gas so you can run your engine at the last day to break down. At Pink Heart, we have a mandatory, everyone helps strike on Sunday morning after the burn. So we tell people all year long that if you join this camp, you better get some sleep on burn night because you're going to be up at 8 o'clock breaking down before it gets too hot. Whatever your camp or whatever your group's arrangement is, just know that it includes you.
Help each other out.
And the final thing in this experience of etiquette is that of exodus, when you have to go home.
It's tough.
And
it can be a long wait, long amount of time sitting in your car and you're tired and you're inching your way to get onto that main road to continue your long drive home. And you need to remember that you all just went through this together. You all are tired. You're all got cracked fingernails. You're all potentially running low on food and water. Sometimes you have way too much stuff, but you're all in this together. Don't lose your attitude. Stay in the gifting energy. Stay within the positive vibe.
Yeah, you have spent so much time and money and effort to get to this part of you that you get to at Burning Man. You've cracked through your barriers. You have cracked open your heart. You have expressed yourself radically. You've piqued the divine in you. Don't throw it away just because you want to get onto the road quicker. It's an investment.
Everyone gets a chance to go. So you don't need to change lanes and stuff. You're not going to get out any faster. Everybody gets a chance to go. And what happened after I realized I just shut the engine off, you know, I'm in my car and I was like, okay, reading something or whatever, writing in my journal about my amazing experiences. And suddenly people were getting out of their vehicles and passing around frozen strawberries and passing around like extra food. And people that had extra food were like, want this, want that. And it was like a spontaneous potluck. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. We're all like, let's just nourish each other, take care of each other. I was getting things wet and wrapping them on people's heads and giving people wet hugs. And it was just...
And this is the fundamental lesson
of
the burn.
That's what it's about.
It's why we said, you know, at the beginning, like, your Burning Man has already begun. Because when you surrender and you let go of the way you think it's supposed to be, then the way things happen can be amazing.
Yeah. Let it be, let it be.
So there is no right way to burn. This list of how to be a good burner is ridiculous. The way that you burn is perfect. What you bring is perfect. Just follow the principles.
Read the survival guide.
Follow your heart. Use your intuition. Trust that you are there for a reason. And the you that you are going to express there might change and evolve as you go. And you might have some big struggles and you might have some tough times and it might not be the experience you thought it was going to be. Surrender.
Yep. Trust that the playa provides.
This is week 3 of 4 plus a bonus relationship video if we don't fight over when that's going to be recorded.
Relationship survival guide.
So get on list.hugnation.com to make sure you get them all sent to you. We will be heading to the playa in a little over a week. So
wait, that what?
We are going to be at Pink Heart at 8:30 in Esplanade. After the burn, I'm going to be running a month-long decompression and integration group. If you have interest in that, let me know. It's going to be helping one another to stay in the headspace that we find ourselves in, the spirit space, and then taking that into the world, making this more than just a party and more of a platform for activism for our own lives in the world. I wanted to also say, in the idea of being a good burner, we share these things to help make our experiences better and to help guide other people's experience. It is not intended to be a weapon. Do not assault people that you see anything doing wrong. Do not punish people or shame people that you see them disobeying.
Unless they're stealing
the
a
right
green
way
bike.
To do it. But in general, say, hey, actually, even then, you can say, hey, actually, you know that those are communal bikes and you can't lock them up because it messes with the whole system.
Or you can do it with how I do it and go, shame, shame on you.
Well, that's my point. Let's not do that. Let's start with the elevation with love and compassion and culturation.
My way is snarky.
There's no right way to burn.
I think it's implied snark is allowed when you stole a green bike.
So we will see you at home. We'll see you again in another week. Anything else we need to share?
Oh, join us for the Pink Ride starting at Pink Heart at noon on Thursday.
On Playa, if you're there.
And at 11 a.m. on Thursday before the Pink Ride, I'm going to be leading a yoga moves for back, booty, and biking so that you can stretch out and get your stretch on before you ride bikes for a while because you're probably going to be feeling it by then.
Next week is going to be what to expect at Black Rock City. If you have been watching these videos and say, I can't believe you haven't talked about blank yet, or oh my gosh, why didn't you say this? Or you're way off base with that. Please let us know. We would love to incorporate whatever wisdom that you have acquired because it's communal effort.
Yep. And you're always going to learn something new. No matter how many times you've done Burning Man, you'll always learn ways to do it even better.
It's an iterative process. You try again every year. Whether you are going in your heart or physically going to Burning Man, whether you've never been or 1,000 times, hopefully you haven't been 1,000 times. We love you. See you at home.
See you at home.